Welcome to EAA Radio Live. AirVentures daily conversation with interesting people who make aviation great. In just a moment, we'll go live to the EAA Welcome Center on Celebration Way, where you can join the live audience. So stop by in the next hour and join the conversation. You always have a reserved seat next to your radio, web browser, or mobile phone. Visit EAARadio.net to enhance your listening experience. Now, from EAA AirVenture in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, here are your hosts, Steve Buss and Fareed Guillot, with EAA Radio Live.
Good morning and welcome to the EAA Welcome Center. I am neither Fareed Guillot nor Steve Buss. My name is Mike Morgan. I go by Stuck Mike on the morning pre-flight, 6 to 8 on EAA Radio. And as is our habit to do when we are able to, this is a scheduled event that we've done on EAA Radio several years in a row now, the Aviation Journalists Roundtable. And so I'd like to welcome to the stage at the EAA Welcome Center three esteemed journalists who understand what's going on. And we've asked them to express their observations and their opinions. From your left to right, Jeb Burnside serves as editor-in-chief of Aviation Safety Magazine and is a regular on Uncontrolled Airspace, the General Aviation Podcast, and as such, he'll be on EAA Radio a couple of times this week. Jeb Burnside. Tom Haynes, who is a senior vice president and editor-in-chief of AOPA Journal. And Mac McClellan, who for more than three decades has been providing us his columns and articles as a reporter and editor of Flying Magazine, and he's now a regular contributor to EAA Sport Aviation Magazine and to his weblog or blog entitled Left Seat. Mac McClellan.
Thank you.
Mac's going to be with us for our first segment, and then unfortunately EAA has double booked him, so we're going to have a special... We've got a special guest that I'll introduce as we enter the second quarter hour. So I'd like to begin by asking each of you to tell me what you've seen at AirVenture so far that you find to be significant or exciting. Jeb?
Everything.
Can you be a little more specific?
No, actually I can't because I really have not had that much chance to get out and about.
Fair answer. Tom?
I think certainly one of the things that everybody should get a chance to go by is look at the collection of rattan airplanes. Sitting down here, it's just amazing when you think about the contributions that he's made to aviation and the legacy that he's leaving for us. So just really fun airplanes to look at and think about what the future might be with some of those designs.
Mac?
What I've seen are people in airplanes. And after last year with the horrendous rains that kept us from using so much of the grounds, this year I'm just really happy to see everyone back here in the numbers we expect. The economy is not good, the fuel prices are high, but we all still want to fly, and this is the place to fly to.
So perhaps the hottest news outside the AirVenture bubble that pierces the bubble perhaps is federal funding and how that has affected the FAA generally and certainly in their presence here. Let me ask you for your comments on the continuing resolution or lack of the FAA funding that isn't there that needs to be.
Well, the continuing resolution has been an ongoing problem. I've lost track of how many years, you remember, Tom, that we've been operating on these 4 years, these very short term fundings. And that's a squabble over Essential Air Service and some other issues like that. The big threat on funding looming is user fees again. And there's an old saw in Washington about what's the difference between a fee and a tax. Well, they'll never raise a tax, but they sure will raise a fee. And the message from General Aviation needs to be that we pay through our fuel tax. It's very efficient, and we don't use very much. If none of us flew, the ATC system and the expense of it would be nearly as big as it is now to support the airlines and military, so it can't go away. So we're paying already for the part we use.
I think it's just irresponsible on the part of Congress and the administration to just not get it done. I mean, that's their job, is to run the country, to provide funding for major projects, and it's if FAA and air traffic control and all the things that the FAA requires aircraft manufacturers and everybody to do is federally mandated, then they need to make the resources available to make it happen. And for them to let it go this long without a short line of funding for the FAA is just irresponsible, and it just really frustrates me that they haven't been able to take action. And then the fact that it's all tied to the debt ceiling debate, when you get into user fees, that's really when that argument came up, was looking for more revenue. Well, let's once again, you know, dust off the user fee proposals that they've talked about before and get back and try to tap general aviation for some of that. And of course, I think that's the user fee problem. If that comes to fruition, I think that's will be very detrimental to general aviation. I mean, we'll be in you'll see a more European-style general aviation, which is purely recreational and very light airplanes, and really not being able to get the utility out of general aviation that we have always enjoyed in this country. And I think it would just be enormously detrimental to general aviation.
Tom's exactly right. Currently in the U.S., we have the benefit of being where everyone comes to train. That could go away if user fees were put into place, as it becomes more expensive, and pilots from overseas find that they can do it as well and as cheaply somewhere else, Australia perhaps. The other thing with the user fee debate, of course, this has all come up in conjunction with high-profile attacks on business and corporate aviation as part of the debt ceiling debate. But once that bureaucracy is put in place, it will expand, as bureaucracies tend to do. And that's literally the camel's nose under the tent.
Does the size and the scale of the federal funding problem overall maybe give some cover to the user fees issue, making it so much smaller by comparison?
Absolutely.
So is there the possibility that, again, it might just slip away or fade away?
There's always that possibility. I'm optimistic it'll just get lost in the noise.
Yeah.
And as things progress on the debt ceiling negotiations, which is way up here, 30, 40,000 feet, while we're way down here bouncing around on the thermals, it's strong likelihood it will go away. But again, like a bad stretch of road, it'll be back.
Other comments on that?
No, I agree. We're certainly hopeful that it'll go away, but I think we can't afford to hope. I think we really need to take action. We've AOPA has sent out a number of member alerts over the last week, just encouraging people to contact their members of Congress to once again try to galvanize Congress. The general aviation caucuses that have been formed in the Senate and the House have been helpful in allowing us to be able to educate them about what general aviation does and what the impact of user fees would be. And certainly that was helpful in the last Congress, and now in this Congress, kind of have to start all over again. But the idea is that we just need to keep that front and center of members of Congress, that this really will be detrimental to general aviation, and so we can hope that it goes away, but I think we also need to be proactive. And one of the frustrating things about the current debate is, in the past, the user fee debate has always been tied to a bill. It's like, you know, call up so-and-so and talk about and tell them that they should be opposed to such and such a bill. Now it's not really been assigned to a bill yet. It's sort of just in a state of discussion, and there have been numbers kicked around from $12 or $25 or $100 per takeoff or whatever, and it's all kind of loosey-goosey. So it's hard to define for people so that they can have a nice, succinct message that they can go to their member of Congress and talk to them about. But still, it's important that we all get out there and make sure that Congress understands that this is something that we don't want.
Anything?
I agree. I think the climate is so unpredictable now. Anything could happen. An example is the blocked registration program. I don't know if you all are familiar with that, but the FAA has made available your flight activity if you fly in the system, and it's given free to websites that then make it available to anyone in the world in a for-profit effort. And our flying isn't necessarily a secret, but for the government to collect necessary information on our activity and then make it available to anyone for any reason, many of us feel is just wrong. So there was a program where you could ask to have your number blocked, and the authorities, both the FAA and all kinds of security authorities, They had full access, but it was not broadcast worldwide on the web. For some strange reason, the Department of Transportation has reversed that, and as of next week, August 2nd, nobody will be able to block their number without establishing an absolute direct threat, security threat. So none of us saw this one coming, didn't expect it, trying hard to keep it from happening or actually to get it overturned at this point. So we can't let down our guard on user fees either.
Yeah, that's something else that EAA members and anyone else should be writing their members of Congress about, because the BAR program and reinforcing it and keeping it in place is a provision that's in the House passed version of FAA reauthorization. So it comes full circle.
So how significantly would this affect GA financially?
It's hard to say what the financial impact would be.
To the extent that it might deter business aviation users from actually exercising that privilege.
What will be threatened, of course, are people flying on business, because then their movements will be known. And competitively, if you're visiting somebody, if Warren Buffett flies into your town, you're going to want to pay attention, for example. What stands to benefit, of course, are charter and or the fractional ownerships, because they don't have to tell people or tell the FAA who's on board, just an N number went here or there. So it's really the private airplane owner, individual or company airplane owner, that's going to be harmed by this.
Okay. Mac, we're coming up on the end of our first segment now, so I wanted to thank you for spending what time that you had with us.
Well, thank you, Mac. Sorry, I have to run off to talk at a forum.
Okay, well, that's great.
Good to be with you.
Okay. That's great. So coming up in the rest of our hour, globalization of the business side of aviation, boosting the pilot population, and the Pilot's Bill of Rights. We'll be talking about all those on the Aviation Journalist Roundtable here at EAA Radio Live.